Guess what we're going to talk about? Well, that's true. We're not going to talk about Jesus. God's going to be in there. We're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about worshiping God. We're going to talk about true worship. I'm going to preach for a little bit. Then Daniel's going to preach for a little bit. You guys know Daniel. Daniel Makoku right here. And we're going to talk about what it means to be a true worshiper of God. Now, you might think that it has something to do with singing or having a nice voice or being able to play an instrument or having a nice sound system, but it actually doesn't. I'm just going to tell you what it is. I'm not going to wait. You're not going to wait till the end. It takes full devotion to God to be a true worshiper. Amen? We're going to look at a scripture. I got little post-its in here. That way I don't have to, I'm not used to this because I usually have an iPad, but my children have it in the car because they're driving, my wife and my two kids are on a 9-hour trip to Ohio to see family, and so that's where they're going today, and so they have my iPad, they're watching movies and having a grand old time. So I'm looking at paper. So here we go. So I want to ask you to look at Genesis chapter, is this 11? My post-it's covering the chapter. I think it's got to be 11. Chapter 11, verse 27. And it says, in Genesis 11, 27, I'll give you some more time to get there. Oh, it's up there already? Okay. It says, these are the family records of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans, during his father Terah's time. Abram and Nahor took wives. Abram's wife was named Sarai, and Nahor's wife was named Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Sarai was unable to conceive. She did not have a child. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, Haran's son, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they set out together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years and died in Haran. Chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, go out from your land, your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and what else? And the people that he had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And let's stop there. Okay. You should be grateful for these notes, because without them, I'll go all over the place. So, we just read about Terah and his sons, right? We want to talk about how do we have true worship. You know, when I have quiet times, I like to ask myself a lot of questions, like a historian, because that's what historians do, I found out. They ask questions, and then they try to prove, according to the text, how it's true, okay? So, we just read about a guy named Terah, okay? He had three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran was the father of a guy named Lot. Haran died. Haran died before this story even started. So we've got Abram, we've got Nahor, and we've got Lot, who's like a nephew. And Abram has a wife named Sarai, and Nahor has a wife named Milcah. These are very complicated names, especially Milcah and Nahor, because we don't hear them a lot. So I just want to, let's get familiar with these people. Okay. Now after Terah dies, Terah decides to go to Canaan. But they never make it to Canaan. They go to this place called Haran, okay? And then when Terah dies, God calls Abram to travel to Canaan. See, Terah gets it in his head. He's like, we got to go to Canaan. I don't know why. Doesn't say. But when they go, he takes Abram, Sarai, and Lot with him. But Nahor and Milcah don't go. Now, let's go back a bit. Full devotion starts. We need to have full devotion. That's what we're looking for because we want to worship God, right? So we've already said, worshiping God, we need full devotion, okay? But without, in order to get full devotion, we have to realize our need for God. Okay, why does Terah decide to move his family to Canaan to begin with? It's a strange thing. It says he just decides to go. Usually, when we want to go, when they want to go somewhere, like in these olden times, the reason why they move from one place to another, they didn't have cars, right? They move because resources and food are depleted, right? There's no more food here. We're hungry. So what do we got to do? We got to move. We got to go somewhere else. Now, I don't know. You don't really know. I'll tell you right now. Which is a weird place. U-R, that's the name of their hometown. And Haran, where they ended up, are 400 miles apart. Now, I don't know, this morning my kids and my wife, they traveled 500 miles. They're going to be in the car for about 9 hours. So on foot, that would take about a couple of months. That's a long time to just go like, let's just go over here. You know, we're just going to go and live over here now. Like, no one's doing, like, it's not just one town over. It is far. And Abram and Sarai, they decide, you know, we're going to go, but Nahor and Milcah stay. Okay? Now, if we go back to chapter 11, verse 30. In 30, can we bring that up? Now, in my Bible, I don't know, in this Bible, actually, in another Bible that I was looking at, that scripture was in and of itself, like, there was like an indent and a space, and then verse 30 was there, and then another indent, and that means, like, that's important, right? Now, Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. That was a big deal. And I believe, like, and that was the thing they really wanted the most. As you read on, that's the thing they prayed about. We want a son. We need a son. We want to be able to live our legacy. We want to be able to go on. And I believe that's why they went with Terah. See, Nahor and Milcah, they had children. They were able to have children. It was like, come on, we're going to go to Haran. We're going to leave And Nahor and Milcah were like, you know what? I don't think we were fine. We got a job. We've got children. We've got a house. We've got a nice lawn. We mow the lawn. We've got the white picket fence. We were all set. But Abram and Sarai were like, you know what? We are looking for something more. Perhaps Lot, too. I mean, his father died. Like, who knows? Maybe he wanted to get out. They were looking for something more. And then what did that do? That caused them to follow and go somewhere else. You know, and as time went on, what happened? When they were in Haran, it says that Abram was called. He becomes Abraham later, obviously. But he was called by God. God, it's open to interpretation, it's open to conjecture, but I believe that Terah was actually called, maybe he was called by God first. Something was bringing him to Canaan, though. He wanted to go. But the question is, I have to ask myself, when I was reading this, I was like, you know what? Am I like Nahor, or am I like Abram? Like, is there something pushing me to go along? Last week, I don't know if you were here, well, most of you were here last week, we had a really big problem with the sound system. Lewis wasn't here, he had to work, and Ramon was at the service in Yonkers. And as we came here, we set up the speakers, the microphones and everything like that, and we just could not get the speakers to work. And he was just like, there was nothing coming out. We tried everything, me and John Perez here. You know, John did a great job. Like, he did, you know, but we just couldn't do it. You know, he and I couldn't do it. And then when I got up to sing, we started getting feedback. And it was like, oh, man, like, what else? And there was also another thing that happened. You know, I almost didn't come to church that day because I was sick. It was a kind of sickness where there's sort of an intestinal requirement. You know what I'm saying? They pulls you out of the room into another room, and we'll just leave it at that. And I was a little shaky. I was a little nervous. I didn't feel like it's, you know, definitely taking me out of my comfort zone. That's for sure. But when I heard, okay, Lewis isn't going to be here. Ramon's not going to be here. I gotta go in. I gotta help. You know, I can't leave these guys in a lurch. So I came in. Obviously, I was setting up. We were getting it together. But when that my iPad at one point didn't work. I mean, there was just so many things. I was like, holy cow, what's going on here? And then when I got up to start singing, okay, we ended up getting these speakers to work. We turned them around. So we said, let's forget about the monitors. We don't need to hear ourselves. We'll just turn it around. But then when we got the feedback, it was like, oh my gosh, So you know what, John? Mute everything. Don't really do that. But that's what I said at the time. And we moved the mics out of the way, and we just sang, and something amazing happened. See, everybody saw the need. There was a need, right? And it was like, wow, we've got to worship. And for the first time in a long time, I looked out and every single person, even the people in the back, were engaged. It was amazing. And I was like, wow, you know what? You know, worship isn't about the sound system. Worship isn't about the singing. I mean, we make it about these things. And right before the service started, I thought, oh my gosh, the sound system doesn't work. This is horrible. This is like the worst thing that could happen. No, it was the best thing that could happen. Why am I telling you this? Because Sarai and Abram couldn't conceive. And that need drove them forward. They were not content to stay in Ur. They were seeking something more. Things happened because of it. What is the thing in your life right now that's not holding you back? I mean, you don't realize it's holding you back, but the thing that you want more than anything that you just can't get, it's not within your reach, and you're like, man, if I could just have that, things would be so much different. I feel that way. I felt that way so much, and I feel that way even now. You know, I felt that way I've been a stay-at-home dad for, 7 years now? 2010, 7 years. I've gotten freelance work. I've done different types of things, but I just can't get a full-time job. And I feel like, what's wrong with me? I'm hireable, right? Come on. It's not about that. You see, God could have totally given Abraham and Sarai a child in Ur, but then the story would have ended, wouldn't it? Do you think they would have gone with Terah, crazy Terah, over to Canaan, try to make this pilgrimage? No, when you read the story, I believe they were searching for something more. They wanted to see God work in their lives. And when you're comfortable, that just doesn't happen. You just don't want to go. You want to stay. You've got things. I believe Nahor and Milcah were good people, but they were busy people. I can't go to Haran or Canaan. They say, look, it sounds great, Canaan. It sounds land of milk and honey. I get it. I think it's great. But that's a pipe dream. That's crazy talk. I can't fit that into my life right now. But when you have something, when there's something that you need, that's God's doing, I think. I think God has put that need in my heart, in my life, because it pushes me on. You know, you start to feel like, well, maybe, God wants to torture us. You know, Abram and Sarai took a huge risk. You know, worship is a decision. Romans 12, verse 1. There it is. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So he just spelled it out right there. Paul says, oh, look, I'll tell you how to worship. You know how to worship? You got to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, not dead sacrifices. Like, you know, when we watch in the cartoons and TV, when they throw somebody into a volcano, right, to appease the gods. That's not what God's looking. That's a dead sacrifice. We don't want that. We want Abram and Sarai offered themselves as living sacrifices. When God says, look, I want you to go to Canaan. I want you to travel. Traveling was really, really hard. Being in a new place was really, really hard. You don't know who you can trust. You don't know who you cannot trust. It was scary. There were times where Abram, he had to run for his life. He had to flee for his life. He pretended to be his wife and him were sister and brother because he didn't want to get killed. You know, there were a lot of trials. There were a lot of tribulations. Would it have been much easier to stay in Haran or in Ur? Absolutely. Would it be easier to not be a Christian? Absolutely. But if we want to have that close relationship with God is so much more rewarding. You know, there's blessings and there's worship. Which comes first? Which do you think should come first? I like the blessings first. I don't know about you. I like to get blessings, and then I'll worship. Hey, let's go, glory, glory. Like, I want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, I feel like that's, the, and I've had those conversations with God. I'm like, God, look, I'm dying here. You know, you got to throw me a bone, please. You know? But God's like, what about if you worshiped me first, and you actually did it from your heart? You know? Because what happens, worship, is it meant to be conditional? I don't think so. He says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as offer your bodies as living and sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Not if you get what you want. You'll be doing it anyway. If you practice, are we content and busy like Nahor and Milcah, or are we seeking more like Abram and Sarai? You know, Abram and Sarai, this problem of being barren was not a fun problem, especially during this time, because they were frustrated. They were embarrassed. It was embarrassing. It's like, oh, we can't have children. And people thought, oh, there must be something wrong with you, or the gods are not happy with you, or there's, you're doing something wrong in your life. That's the problem. We don't know what it is, but there's something going on. We know there's something. There's something wrong with you. That's what it felt like. And they were frustrated, and they were neglected. They were hopeless. They were embarrassed, insecure. I'll tell you something. I felt frustrated. I felt neglected. I felt hopeless. I felt embarrassed. I felt angry. I felt insecure. There were times, I've told you guys this. There were times where I felt like, God, like, I feel like you're a cat, and I'm a mouse. And you know how cats play with mice? And they like tease them, and they like, you know, like they, and the, you know what they do with the mouse, and the mouse can't get away, and it's like, the mouse is going to die anyway, and the cat's just prolonging the mouse's death. I've told God, I'm like, that's how I feel. And I'm sure, I'm like, you know, when I read the story, it's like that's how, like, it's like, we'll just, they get to the point where it's like, well, okay, you want us to travel 400 miles, we'll travel 400 miles, anything, because we want to see God work in our lives. It was these feelings that drove them closer to God. It was these feelings that led to true worship. It wasn't a nice voice. You don't have a nice voice, don't worry about it. You can't play an instrument, doesn't matter. You can't, you know, the sound system is on the fritz, musical instruments, doesn't matter. What makes true worship? I saw it last Sunday, it was amazing. People got up. People, you know, it's funny, as Americans, I think it's just in our culture to be defiant, you know? Like, when something goes wrong, it's like, no, I'll show you, I'll make this go right, you know? And so, sound system, yeah, the heck with you, sound system, we're gonna make this work. But we did it. We banded together, you know? I almost wanted the sound system to not work today, you know? It's like, yeah, you know, like, break again. I mean, don't really, Louis's like, don't, John, it's expensive. But does that mean that, you know, God's like, okay, you know, we never get what we want? Is that the way to true worship, to just never get what you want? I'm glad it isn't. Let's look in Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. And then I'll get out of your hair. In verse 1 it says, now the Lord came to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time God had told him. Abraham named his son, who was born to him, the one Sarah bore to him, Isaac. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears will laugh with me. She also said, Who would have told Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne a son for him in his old age. So she got her son. They named him Isaac, right? But it had been a long journey. They came from Ur. They went to Haran. They stopped there. Then they went down to Canaan. A lot of things happened. You got to read the story. Obviously, I don't have time to say it all. But Sarai has become Sarah. Abram has become Abraham. There's been a change, not only in just their names, but in the way they live their lives. They've changed, and I urge you to read the story because it's a great story. But it's because of their relationship with God that's turned these two people into two totally different people. That's what I want to be. You know, and John from, I'm John, if you don't know. From John from 20 years ago is a much different person than he is now. God didn't change my name, but I'm still a different person. I'm new. I'm brand new. And that's what full devotion, I mean, I'm still working on it. But for these guys, that's what full devotion did to them. That's what true worship does to them. What do you think about this? If Sarah had given birth to Isaac back in Ur, do you think she would have worshipped God? Because what does she do right after she gets this blessing of a son? She acknowledges God. She's like, wow. She calls him Isaac, which means God laughs. And she's like, everyone is going to share in my laughter. You know, when we're feeling frustrated, neglected, embarrassed, ashamed, there's not a lot of laughter. But now there was. That's what full devotion to God brings. Full devotion and then true worship does not hinge on what's going on outside of us. It's what's going on inside of us. And the only way that we get that is, the only way that we can get that is through a relationship with God. You know, before I step down, Daniel's going to come up here. Come on up here, Daniel. But if you don't understand what that means, I don't know what that full devotion is. You're here and maybe you've come with somebody. Urge them to show you what that means. How do I become fully devoted? Doesn't mean you have to do it, but at least you know how. And then you can engage in that true worship and that feeling like, oh, wow, you know, I just want to praise God right now. Because that's what happened with Sarah. Again, that probably wouldn't have happened all those years ago in Ur if she had just gotten what she wanted and the blessings came. But now she was ready to have blessings and then really worship and understand what that true worship is.